Hey, what's up, guys? Travis here. And if you've been following me or my story for any length of time, you know that I started a company called Guestio about a year and a half ago now. And one of the things that we are doing this year in 2022 is we're building a concierge program called the Fast Pass that allows you to get booked on top quality shows and platforms for the purpose of spreading awareness for your brand, grabbing attention, growing your credibility, your authority, et cetera, et cetera. And so if you are listening to this right now and you are a seven-figure plus entrepreneur and you have a budget to bring in traffic, attention, credibility, authority to your brand, then this might be a really great program for you. Just head over to travischappell.com/10K. Why 10K? Because we guarantee in this program that you're going to be able to speak in front of 10,000 people within 90 days. Okay, 10,000 people within 90 days. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 10,000 people to share your message, your story. Well, that's exactly what we are doing inside of this program through virtual stages like podcasts or virtual events or YouTube channels or blogs. You name it, we are working with it and we are trying to get you booked on those platforms. So travischappell.com/10x. There's a quick application there. And then right at the end of that application, it'll prompt you to set up a phone call where you'll jump on a call with me and we'll talk through whether or not you're a great fit for this program. Please act fast on this. Do not wait because we are only taking on one or two clients a week due to constraints with our team and the limited supply of high quality shows and platforms that are out there in the market. So if that's you and you're really wanting to explode your brand in 2022, head over to travischappell.com/10K, fill out the application, schedule a quick phone call, and you and I will chat really soon about whether or not this would be a great fit for you. Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Hey, this is Jay Papazan, co-author of The One Thing.
Hey, this is Brandon Turner from Bigger Pockets.
Hey, what's up? This is Kate Erickson from Entrepreneurs on Fire.
And if you want to learn how to build relationships the right way,
and if you want to learn how to invest in your relationships,
and if you want to ignite your inner circle,
you should be listening to the Build Your Network podcast.
Build Your Network podcast.
Build Your Network with my friend, Travis Chappell.
Welcome back to the show. I believe that who you know is more important than what you know. If you agree, then keep on listening for tips on how to cultivate meaningful connections the right way. If you disagree, then tune in anyway to let me prove you wrong with my journey. My name is Travis Chappell, and this is the Build Your Network podcast. What is up, and welcome back to another topic episode of the Build Your Network podcast. This is Top Networking Tips Part 17, featuring Brandon Turner, Kate Erickson, and Jay Papazan. I know it's just getting ridiculous at this point, but there's just so many great tips and tactics that we've gone over in the last couple hundred episodes now. And I'm really, really excited to bring this one to you. Brandon is the host of the Bigger Pockets podcast. Bigger Pockets is the largest and most popular real estate investing platform and resource in the world. They have over a million people on just one of their forums online that you can go in there. You can network, meet people in your area that like to invest in real estate, get your questions answered. They have so many resources and templates and calculators and guides to help you in your real estate investing journey. So features Brandon and then Kate Erickson, who is the chief implementer and the better half to John Lee Dumas over at Entrepreneur on Fire. She is the one of the most organized people that I have ever met in my entire life. And she does a fantastic job of putting into action a lot of the things that John's crazy mind comes up with. And then there's Jay Papazan, who is the co-author of The One Thing, The Millionaire Real Estate Agent and The Millionaire Real Estate Investor with Gary Keller, who is the founder and CEO of Keller Williams Realty. And Jay is the VP over there at Keller Williams. So this is an episode that's just jam-packed, full of value that you are definitely going to want to stick around for. But before we get into that, as most of you know, my network has just absolutely exploded in the last year and a half. And when people ask me how I've been able to do it, the number one answer I give them is my podcast. If I did not start the Build Your Network podcast, there is no chance I would know as many people as I know now. And I don't even know what an accurate percentage would even be to say, but it would gotta be less than 50% of the people that I know, especially the people that I've had on the show. There's just zero chance I would be able to connect with them. I highly recommend starting a podcast. It is the perfect credibility vehicle and value-adding excuse to connect with the people that you want to connect with the most. But if you do start one, make sure you do it the right way. Last that I heard, 90% of podcasters never make it past episode number 7. So if you want to be on the right side of that stat, then do what I did. Hire a coach that's been there, done that, can walk you through the whole process. Almost every single successful podcaster that I know has either had a previous brand that they just migrated to the podcasting platform, or they paid money to learn information at the very beginning of when they started through a coach, mentor, a mastermind, some sort of knowledge that they had to pay to get, including accountability and different things like that, to help them be one of the successful people on this crowded platform. So I highly recommend starting a show and hiring somebody to help you through the process. And that is something that I do. So if any of this resonates with you, then head over to buildyournetwork.co/coaching to apply. Yeah, look, I've helped a few people in the last couple of months get their shows off the ground, and I'd love to do the same for you. You need to apply because I only accept a couple people at a time, because I don't want anyone lost in the process. It's a lot of information. And then I'll only be helping 10 people total starting from November of 2018 before I shut the whole thing down. So it's really valuable, and it's just really, really time intensive from me. So I can't do it forever. So be sure to be one of those people. Head over to buildyournetwork.co/coaching to apply, and we will chat real soon. And now enjoy Top Networking Tips, part 17 with Brandon Turner, Kate Erickson, and Jay Papasan. So we got a few minutes here, Brandon, talk a little bit about networking. This is the Build Your Network podcast, and where we talk a lot about how to build good relationships in life. And I think we've touched on a couple of your main ways to do that in the podcast, which I totally second that. Like, if you're listening to this right now and you want to explode your network over the next year, like, you can build a network in, like, over time with some energy, some money, some time putting in and investing into it. But if you want to explode your network, I think you should create some sort of a platform, because it just gives you the perfect excuse to connect with really whoever you want to connect with. But
yeah, and don't think you have to start a podcast that gets a million downloads. I mean, I know people who are like, I got a buddy who has a Portland real estate investing podcast. Yeah. Like, I mean, he probably gets I don't know how many downloads, but it's probably way less. I mean, like, hundreds of times less than what we get.
Right.
He doesn't need people in North Carolina listen to his show. He does it because he networks with local people in Portland who are going to then work with him in his business. He builds credibility that way.
Yeah.
A small niche audience, there's nothing wrong with it. In fact, that's probably more beneficial to most people to have that.
So most people, yep, exactly. I love that you brought that up. I have a buddy that he has a pretty successful podcast called The Solopreneur Hour. His name is Michael O'Neill. I don't know if you know who that is, but he...
I know who he is. I've never met him.
Okay. So, but he just started another show called The Beginner Audio File, and he literally just talks about audio equipment and how to make stuff sound good and what mics to use and different, super, super, super niche audience. But it's actually making him some pretty decent money at this point because of how niche the audience is. But I would say just pick a topic that you want to learn more about and become an investigator of that topic. And then it'll allow you to get excuses to connect with whoever you want to, especially if it's like a local community thing that. If you go to somebody like Brandon or John Lee Dumas or, Jordan Harbinger, people that are in this world, and ask them to be on your podcast, there's probably going to be some buffers that go up of saying how long have you been around? How many episodes do you have? How many downloads do you have? I have to be able to guard my time because I get 1,000 requests a week, right? But if you go to Joe, who owns Joe's tire shop around the corner, and he's been there for 20 years, he never does podcasts. He'll jump on your show 100%. And maybe he's looking to buy a house and you're a real estate agent. You happen to be looking for a client. It's just the perfect way. But we've talked about that enough. So let's go into kind of the best practices here, Brandon, because it's crazy to me because I'm in this world and I talk about networking a lot. And so when I still see it exist, when I still see bad networking exist, when I go to an event and I just see so many people doing it the wrong way, it's just like, man, how are you missing out on this still? There's so many ways to figure out that you're doing this wrong and you're just doing it wrong. So can you talk about a couple of ways to do this right?
Sure. So one thing I like to tell people about networking and building connections is, if you're young, and that's a relative term. I mean, you could be 50 and young to a 70-year-old, right? But if you're young, that's one of the greatest assets, even if you're inexperienced. And this is especially true in real estate, but I think it's true to everything in a way, is that people love to invest in younger people. It's like this, human nature to see somebody up and coming and want to help them, but they have to be first helping themselves. It's not like the whole, can I pick your brain for 2 hours over coffee? And it's like, there's this kid, Chris, who is in my local area, and he does a little bit of video editing. He plays with videos. He's pretty good at it. And he wants to get into real estate. He wants to get his real estate license. And so we started talking. We started playing Ultimate Frisbee together. And he just started like providing value to me. Like he came over and like helped me film some videos. And then he would just occasionally ask me questions. And I love pouring into this kid. Like I love being like, you know, he's looking for a deal. I love sitting down and analyzing a deal with him. Like he doesn't need to be weird about it because I love pouring into younger people because it's like, I see myself in them, right? And like, that's the thing. Older people will see themselves in you if you're putting in the work and hustle and you know, you deserve it, right? That sounds horrible, but like, if you've proven yourself as deserving of my time, then I want to pour into you. And that said, podcasters or influencers, I mean, you don't need Gary Vaynerchuk. You don't need to connect with us to learn. Like when people say they want to connect with me because they want to pick my brain, they shouldn't be picking my brain. They should be picking the guy's brain who's not on a podcast and taking him out to coffee because nobody's ever asking him. So like, I would encourage people when you're networking is don't just think you have to go talk to the influencers. In fact, I mean, like I'm not even that good of a real estate investor compared to like some of the people we've interviewed on our show who don't have their own podcast. They're just legit people who own hundreds or even thousands of properties. And they would love to be asked from a young, hungry person, hey, can I ask you a few questions?
Yeah.
I think there's something to that is you got to make it worthy. You got to be worthy first, right? And you do that. Like if somebody comes up to me and they say, hey, I read all of your books. I attend your pod webinar every week. I upgraded to a pro membership and I'll drive 2 hours down if I can have 35 minutes of your time at coffee and I'll buy or at a steakhouse, right? Of course, I'm going to help that person. Like, like they've proven themselves worthy. Or, hey, I've been analyzing deals every day now for the past 6 months. I've analyzed over 150 of them. I feel pretty confident in this, but the one I want to make an offer on, can I just have 20 minutes of your time on a Skype call where I can run through my numbers? Sure. But if it's, hey, this is my first deal ever, can you walk me through how to do this? No, go read a book first, right? I don't know if you can pull anything in there, but like those are a few things that I find that is good networking practices.
No, totally. I 100% second that. And that all those rules definitely apply for the, like, if you're reaching out to somebody that has a lot of demands in their time, like you or some of these other people that everybody wants to try to connect with. But I think that you also brought out a fantastic point, which is even if somebody, like, stop compartmentalizing, stop thinking about this person as more valuable, this person as less valuable, this person over here is different, this person does. Like, if you're constantly analyzing, you could be losing out on so many awesome relationships because, like, you're so focused of standing in the line to talk to Grant Cardone when he's not even going to remember your name 3 seconds after you leave.
Yep.
You could be standing in line next to a guy that could help you get to the next level in life, but you're so focused on like getting a picture with Grant that you totally neglect the dude standing next to you that could be like a business partner or that could give you a piece of knowledge. Or maybe it's Grant Cardone's freaking cousin and he's like going to his house the next day and you could have connected with him and you could have gone over and spent more time with like you just have no idea. So stop. Like, it's crazy, bro, when I'll meet somebody now, right? And we'll just talk about random things. And this happened to me very recently and very normal conversations, whatever. And then afterwards, they'll go check out like all the stuff that I'm doing and my podcast and people that I've connected with. And then we hop on a call like a week later and it's like a totally different conversation. They treat me totally differently. It's like, wow, that's so crazy. Can we talk about this? What about this other thing? And like, it's just like, man, if you just would have taken advantage of the connection the first time, we probably would have built a better relationship to where now I feel like I really want to help you out with those things. At this point, like you were kind of acting like you didn't have time for me and that you were really busy, which is fine. I'm not like worried about that, but you got to treat people like people and build real, genuine relationships with people and realize at the end of the day that that's all it's about. It's not about networking to get the next dollar in your pocket. It's about building genuine relationships.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And I really like that what you were saying about like, yeah, Grant Cardone's not going to remember your name 3 seconds after meeting you. But, you know, people, I don't know, they get so worked up about that picture because it makes them feel good, right? It makes you feel like you met a celebrity. You got a picture.
And because it gets likes on social media.
And it gets, exactly, right? Yeah. But that's not networking. That's photo taking. That's like, that's ego, right? That's making yourself feel really good for a minute, but not long term. So that's huge there. One more thing I notice a lot too, where I guess people trying to network, you're trying to connect with other people, right? They tend to ask that question, right? What can I do to provide value in your life? I hate that question.
I was going to ask you that, bro. Yeah. I was going to ask you, what's like the number one thing that you hate the most?
Yeah, I don't like when they ask me, I love the idea of providing value. I don't like when people say, I want to provide value. What can I do for you? Because then I have to start thinking and working at it and be like, oh, I don't know, man, I guess I could do this. And what are your skills like? You just take in all of your goodwill and put it on, you know, put all this work on me. And now I'm stressed out trying to think, well, I don't know, what do I need?
It's the most ironic statement.
It is, right? How can I provide value? Yeah, you just didn't do it. Like, I would rather
ask that question, number one.
Exactly. Yeah. Instead, provide value. Like I said, that kid, Chris, right? He was just like playing Ultimate Frisbee with me, like connecting. And he's like, hey, you know, I've been watching your videos on Bigger Pockets. Do you want, can I come over and help you film them? I mean, that was like, I was like, that's a great idea. I do not have to set up my teleprompter and my light. You'll just do that for me and hit the record button. That sounds like a great idea.
Perfect.
So like, yeah, looking at what people might need and then finding ways to provide that is fantastic. Instead of asking, yeah, that's probably one of my biggest pet peeves.
Yeah, I love that question, man. How can I add value to you?
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, well, you got to give me some background on what you do. Are you even good? Like, like, I know that you do video, but like, what if you suck? What am I going to do it better than you? Like, then no, you can't help me with the video. Like, yeah, so totally agree with you on that.
On that note, one more thing I'll add there too. There are some people who will try to provide value. For example, and I don't want to talk bad about these people. I love these people because they send me stuff, but I'll get random gifts in the mail. Like somebody hand drew a picture of me and my family. Very, very thoughtful and very cool, right? Somebody else sent me like a pack of knives one time. And that's kind of weird actually, but like it's cool that people tell me. However, I could not tell you a single person's name that sent me anything free like that. I have no idea. It's almost like people are like, I'm gonna give them something really cool. And again, I'm send me free stuff all the time. I love it.
Yeah.
That's not really networking either because I don't remember who you are. Yeah. Like there's so many like just random things. So I would also caution against just providing value without like providing something to a person.
Establishing some sort of a connection outside of that.
Yeah. You need that connection outside of it. One thing we do at Bigger Pockets that we implemented a few years ago, we noticed that people were getting together. They were in the forums and they're like, hey, who wants to get together in, you know, Dallas or Houston or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we actually built a system that allows people to do that. And now like there's probably 100 of them going on in every given month, just people meeting together for drinks and coffee or whatever. And there's no, like, people don't charge for it. It's just getting together. If you can find those kind of things in whatever industry you're in, and meetup.com is a great website for that, just go there and just hang out with people. Like, don't have an agenda. Just go there and meet people, talk with them and see what happens that way.
Yeah. Don't have an agenda. That's the biggest statement right there. Too many people have the agenda, man. They got the 500 business cards in their pocket, hot off the press because they ran out of them at the last event and they're ready to like throw them all on your face.
I legitimately do not have business cards because it makes it's like cheap. I mean, like I had some somewhere in a box, but like, it's like fake networking almost. Like just throw out your business card.
It's old school networking. It's an old school idea.
Yep. I've never once taken a business card home from a conference. Ever. Like I've never went to a conference and got home and been like, oh yeah, this was that card from John. I got to make sure I call him. Or this is Sally. I got to make sure I call her. Like,
right. They go straight to the trash.
Yeah, exactly. I just dump almost every time right in the trash.
If I want the contact, I take a picture of it and then I throw it in the trash.
Yep.
Yeah, so like literally just like connect with me on Facebook and then we can actually connect and get to know each other or like shoot me a text, but like I'm not going to use the business card, bro.
That said, one of my buddies had a good idea with the business card thing is it was a business card on the back. It was just, he had it written on there like, where did you meet me? And then a bunch of lines. And so the idea being you give the card to somebody and then they can go and take notes like about, oh yeah, this was, you know, this guy, Bob, who did this and that. That was an interesting idea, but I've never written on a business card, I don't think. So even though maybe I should, I don't.
Yeah. Well, again, that would mean that I have to keep them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So like
all these cards. Yeah. I used to because I felt bad. I was just like, man, I feel bad that you bought this card and you gave it to me. But like, so I just get these like stacks of cards from events like on my dresser. And then like after 6 months, I was like, yeah, these have to go in the trash. And then from that point on, I was just like, as soon as I got home from the event, now they just go from my back pocket into the trash can.
So if there was one tip that you had centered around networking, what would that one tip be?
I think be purposeful, be systematic.
Okay.
About when the one thing came out, I remember I was building a business. My wife had a business. I had partnerships in two or three others. And I asked, what's the one thing I can do for all of these businesses? Hmm. And having written a book, that opens a lot of doors. So I had people knocking on my door. And with my coach, we just said, you need to be purposeful about networking. Because you can introduce talent into these businesses. You can introduce business opportunities. You don't have to be the lead salesperson, but you can be kind of an ambassador for all the businesses that you're part of.
Yeah.
And so under his challenge, because meeting strangers is not my idea of a good time, I told him that sometimes I like meeting people for coffee.
Okay.
And so we agreed that every Wednesday was when I set it up. Wednesday mornings, I would meet a stranger that someone else had said was really talented for coffee. And no agenda, just show up, learn about them, kind of like an interview, right? Tell me about yourself. I hear you're a great designer, no agenda. And they got added to my database. And so if I added 50 people that were talented to my database, like what would that do for the future of our businesses? That was what we did. Right. So the first year I did exactly 50 and quit. And I was like, relieved.
Yeah. Well, that's done. Check it off my list.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was still very uncomfortable. And I was going on LinkedIn to try to find friends of friends. And it was hard work. Mm-hmm. The second year, I think I did 79 or 80.
Okay.
Because some of the people I'd met the year before said, hey, you should meet my friend.
Got this buddy. Yeah.
Right. And it started to kind of build its own momentum. And I looked because I knew we'd probably talk about this. So from 2013 to this year, I've averaged about 85 people. So that's about 85 new relationships. And I mean, granted, sometimes I just show up and I find out I'm talking to a salesperson who mm-hmm. has no interest in knowing me and just wants to sell me crap.
Right, of course.
But a certain percentage of them are awesome. And they're people that I want to stay in touch with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's been kind of my wife's a salesperson. The idea of okay. only having to meet one new person a week is ridiculous to her. But as an introvert, it's like, well, I've also made that a commitment. Like, right. I know that I can, that small domino, I can consistently knock over without fail. And I actually do better than that. Mm. But that's almost 500 people now.
Right, right.
And that's a much more powerful database. And it naturally evolves. So if I was going to say, like, reverse engineer for people, it started when I did something that was a little out of the ordinary. Mm. So do anything. Start a podcast, right? I mean, the moment you say you have a podcast, most business people are flattered to be called. Mm-hmm. Doesn't right. matter if you have an audience or not.
Right.
People will say yes. It gives you a reason to ask. So figure out something that's somewhat unique, that's a win for them, and that becomes your door opener.
Right.
Make a commitment to getting face-to-face with people. For me, it was face-to-face. I think that's really rich. I'm comfortable doing this. I mm-hmm. feel more extroverted focusing on one person.
Right, right.
I can fake it with a large group, but then I fall apart. Those people started inviting more people. And at a certain point, like, I only have so many mornings I'm willing to actually go pay for coffee. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you end up naturally like saying, well, you know what? I should probably plan a happy hour. Mm. Or there's this educational event, like a goal setting right. retreat or whatever. And then you start inviting everybody you've met to those things so you can see a bunch of people at one time.
I got a meetup that's coming up.
Right. Right. So like mm-hmm. it naturally evolved. And mm-hmm. last year, about, I guess, 14 months ago, my coach said, so great, you got all these people in your database. You're seeing them kind of regularly. What are you doing to follow up with them?
Hmm. Didn't nothing, have an answer.
Nothing. Because most of them were more extroverted than me. They followed up with me. They dropped me a line. Hey, mm-hmm. what are you up to? Whatever. So right. I was definitely coasting. Mm-hmm. And so, again, we came up with a plan and agreed that I would just write a monthly newsletter. Hmm. Super personal, not professional, not salesy. And that was very uncomfortable for me in the beginning, mm-hmm. even though I'm a writer. Yeah. You know, I just call it what I'm up to. It's usually 5 or 6 bullet points, real short and sweet. And it's had really unexpected gifts. Like, first off, like, in terms of a newsletter, it gets about a 47% open rate.
Wow.
And I don't know when anybody unsubscribes.
Wow.
So of the 450 or so people that I've asked permission to be on that newsletter, mm-hmm. there's about 375 still on there. So some people said, hey, I don't want to stay in touch. Yeah. And I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. But it's now become this place where if I have something really important, I can share it.
Right.
And the unexpected gift, because I'm a goal setter and I'm always thinking about 5 years, whatever, I tend to live a lot of my present in the future. Hmm. And that's my orientation.
Yeah, right.
And what was really great about this is it forced me. I get to the end of the month and it's called what I'm up to. It's just, what did I do the last month? I actually have to reflect back on what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's been really rewarding because I've never been a journaler. I've never done anything like that. So it's okay. effectively become like a journal on a monthly
journal. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's helped me. Like, I've got old college buddies, like my old roommate from France that is now, right, almost every month he'll reply back and share something back. And it's definitely helped me stay connected.
Yeah.
So I guess it started with just being purposeful and it kind of naturally evolved. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many jobs I've filled through that, knowing that that group of people I could reach out to and say, hey, we have a marketing director position open. Mm-hmm. Do you know anybody?
Right.
That group of people has been very rewarding for us, even though I just kind of built it just because out of obligation. If I'm right. a business person, I need to network.
Right.
I know that. It's just not going to happen naturally.
Yeah. But you did it the right way, though. The thing is, people want the well to be dug when they're thirsty, but they didn't do the work to dig the well, right? So they'll need a marketing director position filled. So then they just start going and to these networking events or they start having these lunches, but it's all with the agenda that you were saying you didn't have.
Right. I mean, so if you come,
there's always something in
trite,
the back of your
but
mind.
If you've already built up some equity in that relationship, mm-hmm. you can make a withdrawal.
It's like a bank account.
Yeah,
exactly.
And you made some donations. And I'll credit my coach.
Yeah.
You know, that's been very important for me. There are things that I'm not sure I would have done for myself that either my coach or my wife has pushed me out of my comfort zone, and I'm always grateful.
Right.
which is also a form of networking.
Yeah.
That's one thing. So this is a question I'm going to ask you in a second. I ask everybody on the show.
Sure.
Is the who you know versus the what you know. And one thing that I don't think most people think about when I say who you know, they don't think of it in the mentorship type setting. They think of it in the deal striking type setting.
Sure.
Whereas for me, coming into this world in the last year, year and a half, it's all been the mentorship type mastermind settings. Like I'm just a sponge. I just want to meet people and I want to learn from them and I want to see what they're up to. That's all it is. But having those connections has allowed me to do that at a rate that most people won't be able to do that. But a lot of people only think of it in terms of like, well, you shouldn't connect with Gary V unless you can strike a deal with Gary V and get him the New York Jets tomorrow. Like that's, but you're thinking about it the wrong way. You're only thinking of it in terms of a financial return into your bank account, which is not what relationships are, because people separate them, right? They think like networking for business is over here, building friendships is over here. When in reality, it's really one big thing. Like you build friendships. Some of them might be just a friendship, like maybe some of your high school friends. That's how it is for me. Mm-hmm. None of my high school friends really do any of the stuff that I do, but they're still my best friends. You know, whereas some of these other relationships that you curate, they're my friends, but now we do business together or we help each other out. We mastermind. It's all one thing. And I think people get it. They compartmentalize a little bit too much.
Yeah,
but
I can
without going into that too deep, let me ask you this question. Ask every single guest that comes on the show, who you know or what you know, which one's more important?
Does anybody say what?
Yes.
Knowing it's a networking
yes.
show, just to be contrary or because they have a reason?
Sometimes they have a reason. Yeah, it's funny you ask that because when I started the show, that was like the question that I had at the very beginning,
yeah.
just to like lob one up so they can knock it out of the park, you know?
Yeah.
But I started getting all these different various random answers. And it's been one of the most intriguing things to me because it's kind of been a staple of the show. And a lot of people come to hear what people have to say on that topic. But
I put who first. I do think there's a limit on that.
Mm-hmm.
When I looked at the people I was inviting to my network, mm-hmm. it wasn't because of who they knew. It was because what they were doing.
Mm.
And so there are people whose what is networking. And mm-hmm. the reason you go to them is they're a master connector.
Mm-hmm.
But if I just have master connectors referring me to people who are referring me, that'll get old fast.
Right.
What I want is a short path to people who actually do things that are kind of remarkable.
Right.
That's what I consider a talent network. Mm. I think that when you are in relationship with talent, talent tends to attract more talent.
Mm-hmm.
So you get Amanda Horvath, right? Because she's this great videographer and I think she's talent, right? And mm-hmm. she's filming us right now, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm totally going to mess with her now. But you'd think, well, she probably hangs out with talented people. Mm-hmm. That's been my supposition. It proves to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of what built into that.
Yeah.
Right. Very few people get to be talent purely on their networking skills
mm-hmm.
and they end up in HR.
Right.
So like I said, yeah. like I'm willing to go through the who and that's really great. And I look up and I want to surround myself with people who are doing remarkable things and who share my values.
Hmm.
And that's the who I want around me.
Right.
And there is some what built into that. So I don't know if that's too confusing.
Yeah, no, it's a very thorough answer because that's basically what I believe. I think that it's who you know for sure, hands down. But you have to be competent and you have to always be learning and growing because if you just know a bunch of people, but you never take the next step, then you're always just unimpressive, but everybody knows you. Like you're just the guy that kind of shows up to the event and says, what's up? And people give you a hug, but then
if that's your one thing, that's fine. I don't want to judge it. I mean, I think that's your one thing. I know some people who are that person and mm-hmm. you better believe.
The super connector.
I definitely am. Yeah. I'm on the phone with them and they tend to be very entertaining, fun, great people to know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But there is totally. Like a, depending on what your ultimate ambitions are, I do think there is a limit to how far you ride that.
Right.
I may be wrong.
Yeah. I think that's the biggest difference, though, is that when I ask that question, a lot of people don't think of it the mentorship capacity. They only think of it in terms of, hey, who can you do a deal with tomorrow type thing. And so competence.
That's transactional.
Yeah, exactly.
Turning who's into what. What mm-hmm. can they do for me?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't have a long shelf life.
Correct.
And
correct.
Those are not the people I think.
You'll always find short-term success, but you're going to burn through people instead of having real, long-lasting, valuable relationships with others. But your personal story is a fantastic example of how a mentorship type relationship fueled not even just your career, but your entire mindset. You like you were saying, just started investing in real estate, your money mindset, your wealth creation, everything that you've built stemmed from a bathroom conversation with Gary Keller, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much where it all started. I didn't expect that when I got into it,
yeah.
but he's really purposeful. And you know, there's a model from one of his classes called Quantum Leap.
Mm-hmm.
And we call it No One Succeeds Alone, but it's a model for looking very purposely at your relationships. And it asks the question, do you have mentors in these important areas of your life, a spiritual mentor, a health mentor, a business mentor, right? if it's like on page 114 of the book, we go through the seven circles. Mm-hmm. If it's that big, right, it's a big part of your life, wouldn't it make sense to have a mentor or an advisor?
Right.
Somebody who's mastermind been there, with right. it. Yeah, they could give you real advice when you needed it, because those are the areas that tend to matter most. Mm-hmm. And the other one, and this is where Gary's definitely fulfilled it, he talks about, do you know who you determine wealth for and who are your wealth determiners? Hmm. And it's a really different kind of question. This is more of a business, but like in some ways, I'm a wealth determiner for Gary Keller, because before me, he didn't write books, and together we've been writing books. I'm not saying he wouldn't have, but that's just the way it turned out. Mm-hmm. And that's increased his reach, and therefore he sees that as a reciprocal relationship. Mm-hmm. If my work in connection with him is creating benefit for him, he sees it as an obligation backwards.
Okay.
And frankly, now that I've seen that relationship, I wouldn't determine wealth for anybody who didn't see it that way.
Right.
There are people who'll just take and never share. And then there are people who see that as inherently something that's got to be shared.
Right, right.
And for I guess about 4 or 5 years now, we've taken that. And when we do our retreat, I ask my wife, who are the 5 people who most determine our success? Hmm. And that's been a really interesting exercise to, you know, it's actually like 8 people. You're supposed to do 5. We always cheat. But it'll be like, these are the people that those relationships actually matter on a business level a lot more. So it might be your number one referrer. It might be your number one client. It might be an employee in your organization that you really rely on. But just being aware that some of those relationships matter at a higher level allows you to treat them differently.
Yeah. Right.
But I was thinking mostly about like those areas in your life that really matter. Like, do you have a mentor? Do you have a coach? I mean, our physical trainer is our health coach. Mm-hmm, right, I know right. I always have someone I can ask, well, what should we do about our diet? What should we do about this? Mm. And that's there and it's present, and I can always ask those questions.
Yeah, and I feel like there's so many excuses for a lot of people, but the biggest thing to remember is like, if you're in the situation right now is, and you can't afford to go hire 7 different mentors, there's something really cool. It's called YouTube.
Yeah.
And there's something really cool. They're called podcasts. And then there's a book like this, like mentorship and coaching and all that stuff has never, ever been as easily and readily available. And I think the reason that you were in a position to be able to hire those people is because you were also doing those things when you were not able to hire those people.
True. Some book I read once called, you know, all of the authors that you never got to meet, you know, they're your dead mentors. Hmm. And they're waiting on a bookshelf for you to have a long conversation with them. And that stuck with me because there's that information is always accessible, mm-hmm. and you can learn from their life and their journey. You know, if you want to read about Benjamin Franklin, there's probably like 10 amazing biographies you can mm-hmm. go read.
Right.
And you can have that conversation with someone who's done amazing things in the past.
Tell us about a time when a connection in your life led to a moment of success.
So about 4 years ago, John was on a trip to San Francisco. He, at the time, was in a mentorship with Lewis Howes, and Lewis had told him about kind of like a transformational training type event. Mm-hmm. And John was like, you know, I think that might be something that Kate would be interested in as well. And so I'd never met Lewis before, never talked to him before, anything like that. And him and John were in San Francisco on BART subway. And I get a call from Lewis Howes, like kind of surreal, because I had like followed Lewis and I listened to Lewis. Of course, I knew that John was mentorship with him, but that didn't mean that I got to talk to him.
Yeah. It's actually you talking to them.
Yeah. So that was kind of like definitely out of nowhere. Like I didn't expect it. And so Lewis started talking to me about this transformational training, which I ended up signing up for on his recommendation. He kind of like, we talked on the phone for quite a long time, and he was asking me kind of like what my perfect day looked like, what I was passionate about. And after that conversation, I realized that like I actually had a difficult time answering him. Like I wasn't sure what I was passionate about, and I didn't really know what my perfect day looked like. And it really made me stop and look at the way that I was living my life. And going to that transformational training, it changed my life, no doubt. I had a lot of breakthroughs, a lot of really big aha moments. I think it's changed my mindset like 360. I mean, I'm a totally different person after that. And that has really contributed, I believe, to all of the success that I have today. I mean, if you don't have mindset and if you don't have support and if you don't have the kinds of relationships with people where you know that, you know, you can rely on people and people can rely on you, it's going to be a really, really tough road. And Lewis taught me that. And through that transformational training, I learned that.
And I know this is a really hypothetical question. There's not really a real way to know the exact answer to this, but I like to ask it just because it gets people thinking, how far behind in your story do you think you would be if you had never made that connection and gone to that event on Lewis Howes' recommendation?
Oh, man. That's really crazy to think about because, like I said, the mindset shift that I had from that is I look back at it as one of the pivotal moments in my life to date. It was really that big and that important. So I think I'd be struggling big time. I mean, I would have never been able to support the business in the way that I have. I would have never been able to step up and take ownership of a lot of the really important things that I do for EO Fire. And so, yeah, I can definitely say that I don't think that we would be where we are today. I certainly wouldn't be where I am.
So coming off of that question, and knowing how important it is to constantly just be connecting with other people, why do you think that people fail at increasing their influence or growing their inner circle?
I think people are a lot of talk and not a lot of action. I guess the reason that I say that, if I were to kind of like cite a specific example or kind of like general overview of what I see a lot, is like, I talk about accountability a lot. I think it's so important to have accountability partners and people who you surround yourself with, who you know are going to push you. And time after time, hear people say that they want that. And time after time, hear people talk about how they know that masterminds are important, but they're not doing anything to create that. And I had a huge moment in my life back before I even quit my corporate job, like 7 years ago, almost now, where I realized that nobody else is going to create your life for you. Nobody else is going to give you what you want. You have to create that yourself. And I kind of see that a lot in people who say that they want accountability and people who say that they want a mastermind and people who say that they want to build their network and their influence, but like they're not doing anything to help them get there. It's easy as going to a meetup or putting yourself out there. And I know that for a lot of people, that's really uncomfortable. Yeah. But like, I can't tell you where to find accountability if you're not willing to go out and ask for it.
So if there's somebody out there listening that just says, you know what, Kate, exactly what you just said, that is me. I'm 100% who you just described. What would be your advice to that individual?
To find a meetup, an online community, to figure out like where they want to be and go find the people who either are on that same path, who also want to be where you want to be, or the people who are already there.
So,
yeah. So, I mean, you have to like go find those groups and it's going to take work. I mean, none of this is easy.
Right.
Of course, Travis, you and I can talk about it and it sounds kind of easy because we're like, well, just go meet people.
Yeah.
And I know that it's not that easy. It's going to take work, but you have to take the first step. And the first step is putting yourself in a situation where you get to be surrounded by the people who you would want to be in a mastermind with. And I think that's really about taking that first step and doing some research. Like, where are these people? Are they in an online Facebook group? Are they at a meetup that you can find on meetup.com? Are they a friend of a friend? Like, do you talk to your friends about this kind of stuff? And maybe they have a friend who's kind of on the same path or that knows somebody who knows somebody.
Right.
It's just about putting it out there and putting yourself out there.
And I love what you said about if you want to be successful in whatever area, just go find somebody that's already done that or is currently doing that and find a way to get around that person. I love these. Exactly what I did when I was wanting to start this podcast was I knew that John Lee Dumas knew everything there was to know about podcasting. So I figured out a way to go meet him. And that's where I met you. And that's how we have this whole conversation. And I learned so much from you guys over in Puerto Rico. And that was just really, really great insight. So I appreciate that. One thing I like to stress is that probably the biggest mistake that I see people make when networking is only asking for something in return from the people that they are connecting with. What is your experience with that? And what are some ways that you try to add more value to others than you receive?
It's a slimy feeling. Gosh, I've had that experience so many times where I'm someplace and somebody comes up and like, it kind of feels like you turn into a wall or something.
Yeah.
Like you're dehumanized or something because somebody's talking at you instead of having a conversation with you. It's so easy to spot. And I hate that feeling. I hate that feeling when somebody comes up and you can't get in two words, or no questions are ever asked about how you're doing or what your day was like, or super simple stuff. But unfortunately, a lot of people don't know it. And they come up to you and they talk about themselves the entire time. And I'm grateful to have had those experiences because I think I've learned so much from them. I've learned that I never want to be that person. I never want to start a conversation and be the only person that's talking, or be the one that is like so self-centered that I never even ask the other person how they're doing. So for me, you know, every conversation, I try and go into it. Like if I'm at a conference or a meetup or something, I like to kind of, I guess, pick out specific conversations that I want to have with specific people. And I always start the conversation with thought in mind that by the end of it, I want to have been able to either give resource, a recommendation, or a connection to the person who I'm talking with. Resource, and I never let that
recommendation or a connection. So like a resource, like an app or something, or a book or recommendation, or like connection, meeting somebody else, something like that, right?
Exactly. Hmm. Yeah. And it's pretty amazing like what you can get out of a conversation. Like if you go into it with that goal of ending the conversation by either being able to give a resource, a recommendation, or a connection, like you'd be really amazed what you in turn get out of that conversation. It's like this amazing, like give first, but you always end up walking away with like some type of inspiration or like a wow factor story from the person. Or I just feel good connecting people, like, because I know how important it is to me in certain situations when I'm just like, oh, if only I knew somebody who could do X, Y, and Z. And then somebody's like, oh, I know that person. And it just like feels good, right?
Now, is there a place either online or in person that you go to specifically cultivate relationships?
I guess I would say online, it would have to be my email inbox, because I feel like that's where a lot of outreach happens. And it's pretty incredible what we can do in today's online world. I mean, like I could reach out essentially anybody I wanted to, whether or not it's going to reach that specific person or that specific person is ever going to see it. That's another question. But when I think about like how I connected with my accountability partner, like it was via email, or how I've become part of mastermind groups, it's been via email. It's been reaching out to a friend and saying like, hey, I was thinking about working on a project and I could really use some accountability. And I know that you have this and X, Y, and Z going on. I'm sure you could use some accountability. Like, what do you think? Do you want to just start like a weekly meeting where we check in? It could be 30 minutes on Skype, super simple. You're busy, I'm busy, but I think it would be cool to help hold each other accountable. And oftentimes, even if that person isn't like, oh, heck yeah, I'm in, like maybe they know somebody who's, you know, I have a friend who's working on a project right now too, and she would probably like really be into this. So I would say just email, like thinking about conversations that I've had with people, or thinking about certain projects that people have told me that they're working on. Like if I can think like, you know, I'm working on a certain project and it kind of jives with what this person has previously told me, then that's definitely one way. And then I guess I would say in person, you know, that's been interesting since we've moved to Puerto Rico, because we moved here not knowing anyone, you know, having zero connections, zero friends. Right. But we've been very blessed, and as you know, Travis, to live in this really great community called Palmas del Mar. And we've been able to connect with so many other entrepreneurial couples who are down here. And that community has been like our lifeblood here in Puerto Rico. It's been so, so important for us, not only just like with business and being able to have other people who are kind of on the same path as us, but just for like everyday life, you know, having support and friendship, and just, you know, having somebody to lean on down here when things seem kind of crazy. So every single one of those friendships and connections were formed through going to meetups and stuff, like figuring out what was going on in the community and showing up to strangers' homes and introducing ourselves and seeing who we could connect with.
Who is the best networker that you know, and why you choose that person?
John's pretty darn good.
Yeah, I was going to say he's got a pretty good inner circle. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of John Corcoran?
Yes, I actually interviewed him for the show. Yes.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, he stands out in my mind. You know, he's been very outgoing and kind and generous every time I've ever been like at the same conference as him or in the same city as him or anything like that. You know, he's always trying to put together like a dinner or a meetup. And those types of people, I think, are amazing networkers because they're bringing people together and they're giving people the opportunity. He not only gets to hang out with this group of people, but he gets to connect this group of people. And here I am talking about him for that. And, you know, what's better than that?
Right. Okay. Here's the last question kind of based on this, Kate, but it's an interesting one. Okay. If you moved to a new place, which you guys did, but you lost all of your contacts, what would you do to start building your network?
I would go to the local coffee shop or sandwich shop or whatever place that people would probably seem to order a meal or a cup of coffee and sit down with a newspaper or a book or a computer. And I'd start talking to people and maybe choose based on, like, if somebody was working on a computer, I could probably deduce that they're a freelancer or maybe running their own business. And that's probably somebody that I would want to connect with because we have something in common. So that would definitely be the first thing. And then I'll follow that up quickly with searching meetup.com to see if there are any like in-person meetups or organized things going on where I can connect with other people.
And that's actually some of the advice that I give to people when they ask me about that is sometimes you just got to go do work at a Starbucks instead of in your home office. You
know, yeah.
Get out there and sometimes just overhear on accident conversations that directly involve what you're good at and you can offer feedback or, like you said, give a recommendation. Or I've given out some of my friends' numbers who are in businesses that might help the thing that that person's taught. You know what I mean? It's just good to get out there. So I'm really glad that you brought that up. Well, that's all for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. You might hear my guests and I talk a lot about masterminds on the show. They are literally what I attribute most of the new quality relationships in my life to. So if this is something that you are interested in at all, which it should be, then hit me up and let's chat to see if you would be a good fit for my mastermind, Build Your Network Alpha. Just shoot an email over to travis@buildyournetwork.co and let's talk about it. Have a fantastic rest of your day and remember to leave every relationship better than you found it.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.